So we've been doing a series on winning the day, seven habits to help us really get to grips. And we've looked at turn the page, which John summed up really brilliantly earlier, that every day is a new day when it comes to God. His mercies are new every morning. The things we've done in the past, the things that mark us, shame us, those can all be forgotten, because with God, it is new every morning. If we confess, if we ask him to forgive us, he is just, and he will forgive us all the things we do. So turn the page was the first one. So we turn the page on the past. The next one we talked about was kiss the wave. Remember that quote from Spurgeon, who says that when we fall, when the storms come, will they blow you into the rock of ages, or will they blow you away from God? This thing is learning that when things go wrong, when life is hard, that we turn to God rather than turn away from God. Then last week we were talking about eating frogs. Anyone had a go at that this week? No. Where we talked about, again, it was a quote from Mark Twain, who said, if you have to eat a frog, do it first thing in the morning. Meaning, if you've got tough things, tough decisions, tough jobs to do, do them first. Do them first. And God asks us to do lots of tough things. So get on and get them done. And this week, is going to be another different one, but I'm going to get there in a little while. I don't know if you ever seen this place. Oh, let's do the Bible reading. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is what God wants us, life and life in all its fullness. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him, listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put him out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon wondered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go." Sorry, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up onto the shore, left everything, and followed him. Anyone been there? Anyone know where that is? Ironbridge, yeah. No, not quite. It's one of the gorges above Niagara Falls. At least I hope so. That's what I Googled. It might be Ironbridge for all I know. Anyway, there's a gorge above Niagara Falls. And years ago, they wanted to put a bridge across it. But it was an 800-foot gap, and there was 220-foot cliffs either side. And so they were like, how are we going to do this? So they commissioned someone to build this suspension bridge. So on November 9th, 1847, a man called Charles Ellet Jr. was commissioned to build this bridge. Now, he got together with his team and said, "Well, how are we going to do it?" So they went for dinner, in a local pub, and said, "How are we going to get across this huge river that it's got white water rapids that if we fall in, we're off? How are we going to get a cable across to make the first thing?" And he brainstormed, as you would do, and they said, "Well, we could fire it from a cannon." it's a good idea. Or what about rockets? And it was one man in the team, a man called Theodore Graves Hewlett, who came up with the answer. He says, what we will do is we'll have a competition and we'll get everyone locally to enter the competition. Who can fly a kite over the river? And the first person to do it will win a massive amount of money. And that's what the competition was. So everybody from everywhere starts to make kites and starts to fly kites. One lad, and no one could do it because of the wind direction and things, one lad got on a boat, crossed the river, and flew the kite from the other side, the Canadian side, and he flew his kite. But even then, even with the right sort of wind conditions, it was still hard trying to get it to go that far across a river. This one lad lost his kite. It said it took him 8 days to find it and fix it and to have another go. And his name is a boy called Holman Walsh, Walshy to his mates. He was 15 years old, and he tried all day, all night for a long time. But on the eighth day, on January the 30th, 1848, he did it. He flew his kite across the river. When it landed, he had this little bit of string right across the river. Everyone was delighted. You know what they did with that string? To that string, they tied another string, but a little bit stronger. And he pulled that across. And into that string, they tied another cord that was a little bit stronger, and they pulled that across. And to that string that was that cord was a bit stronger, they tied a rope and pulled that across. And to that rope, they tied a 36 steel corded cable. And with that cable, they built the bridge. So from one kite string to the massive cable is what they did by pulling it across the river. So this week, we're going to call this one Fly the Kite. Okay, here's Walshy with his kite up in the sky. So really what I'm saying here today is from little things, big things can be done. Don't knock the little things. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible, it says something like that. It says this, don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices seeing the work begin. To see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. This is a little thing from a weird book in the Bible called Zechariah. Little verse in a little book that's a bit hard even to find. And it's about God rejoicing at the very start of a project. They haven't even built the temple. All they've done is measured it, and God's like, woohoo! He's so pleased. It's like a standing ovation from God going, yes, you've made a start. It's a great start. And that's what our God is like. He wants us to take little steps. And every little step we take in his name, he rejoices with us. Every little step. We just got to step out and do it. And like a parent, a proud parent, God will be there screaming, shouting, cheering us on. Nothing is too big for God, but the other side is nothing is too small for him either. And that's the fly the kite principle. Do little things like they're big things, and watch God do the big things like they are little things. There was a lad once in my youth group. And I said, I want you to do something for me. I want you to lead a house group for the young people. Now, he's 15. He was quite gifted. But I said, would you step out and do that? And we prayed and chat and talked, and I encouraged him. And eventually, he started up the youth house group that grew so large that we couldn't actually fit it in any home. We had to meet in a bigger building. That was a first step for that young man. He went on and took loads of other steps, including running a festival that used to happen every summer called Soul Survivor. He now is a pioneer vicar down south, doing an amazing work for God. Why? Because I believe he took that first little step and said, I will do it. The girl who we put alongside him to help, she had to take that step of faith as well. And she went on to do amazing things for God. By taking a little step, it led to another step, it led to another step. She ended up working for a company called SWIM, Southwest Youth Ministries. In fact, when we were looking at having interns here, they sent someone to come and see us, and she turned up and met with me and Naomi. From little steps, come big things. It was a girl who failed all her GCSEs, and she said, "Oh, can I come and work for you? Do a year out with you, Steve?" And I said, "Yeah, come. Come, we'll have some fun together." And we went and did some school groups, we ran some kids' groups. And even though she just took that little step of faith, God took her life and changed it. She now runs the children's work for one of the biggest churches in the country, a black Pentecostal church in Birmingham. And here's this very white, very young girl running a huge ministry. Why? Because she took a little step of faith. She said yes. There was a man called Simon, a different Simon, who came to me and said, "Could you speak at a camp for me? Just one talk." He did one talk, and now he runs a church. He's a minister in a church in Worcestershire. Why? Because he took a small step. I could stand here and talk all day about little steps. We did a mission. We were sending people to Malawi. How cool is that? And we thought we'll go in and bless a church out there. So we set everything up and we arranged for a team to go. Now, I can't go to Africa. I'm banned because of the medication I take, not because of anything else. So I couldn't actually physically go. But I was the one who sort of arranged all the initial training before they first went out. And we sat with this team, and we had the pack from the pastor in Malawi. And it had the program of what they would do in their week. And on Wednesday, it says, "We will go to the village and preach the gospel. On Sunday, we'll baptize everyone. And then on Sunday afternoon, we'll start the church." And I'm looking at it going, "What? You're going to turn up, preach the gospel, baptize everyone in the village, and start a church? That's incredible. No one does that sort of thing. That's like Bible stuff." And so I said to the team, "Well, good luck with that. We'll be praying for you back here." And they went. And when they came back, the stories they told. They said, "We went into the village." It says it's pitch black in Africa because there's no streetlights. They said, "We had to put lights up to preach. People came out to hear us preach." And they said, "And most of them became Christians. On the Sunday morning, we baptized 87 of them." And they said, "And then on the Sunday afternoon, we started the church." And I was like, wow. Little steps of faith. And these weren't vicars and ministers we're sending out. These were just people like you who went out and was faithful, and God used them to change a country. You know what? Since that time, that church has continued, not just have one church, but lots of churches come out and help them do evangelism, that they've planted over 100 churches in the villages all around them. Isn't that incredible? You just hear the stories of people taking small steps for God. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. Everything we do, God sees. Everything. A cup of water. If you give someone a cup of water, there's a reward for it. God sees the big and the small. He sees our hearts. Don't wait to step out. Just do it. Fly the kite. Do a small step. I love going back to that story that the Bible read at the start. I love that. Jesus turns up, and the crowds are so big, they're pushing him into the lake. So he gets in a boat and says, "Can I borrow your boat?" Takes it out for a little way from the shore, sits in the boat and teaches the people. You think, oh, that's genius. The acoustics, it's just very clever. Then he turns to Simon and says, "Let's go fishing." And you can hear it in the verse. It's very nicely put in the verse. But you can hear the pain. They've been fishing all night and caught nothing. And preacher man turns up and says, let's go fishing. It's like, yeah, you're very good at speaking, very good at doing the God stuff. But we are the fishermen. We know how to fish. If there's no fish, there's no fish. We tried all night. They won't still see us in the daytime. We've got no chance. And then you hear the words, don't you? But because you say so, let's go fishing. Let's go. We're going fishing. Can you imagine the moaning and they're going, why are we fishing? Shh, just let them do your thing. Throw your nets over here. And then all heaven breaks out loose, doesn't it? The nets are start to break. They call for help for the other boat. The other boat comes. And it says, if it wasn't so close to the shore, both boats would have sank because they had so much fish in them. What? That's just mind-blowing. They get back to the shore and Simon's like, I don't know who you are. He's on his knees. I don't know who you are, but I'm not the type of person you should be hanging around with. I'm one of these people that mess up all the time. And Jesus says, no. Now you're going to be someone who fishes for people. Come follow me. They've just caught their biggest catch ever. Could you imagine the stories around the village? They caught so many fish, they nearly sank not only their boat, but their other boat as well. You know what I mean? He could have set up a big sign saying the best fisherman in the world is here. You know what I mean? But no, he was asked, will you leave it all and come follow me? Will you take that little step and come follow me? And I will make you fishers of people. A little step leads to a bigger step, leads to a bigger step. And it's not long before that same Simon Peter, is in a boat again, not fishing this time, but crossing the lake, when across from them comes a ghostly figure. I love that picture. Because it said they started to freak out and started to point and scream, going, it's a ghost! And a voice comes back, it's not a ghost, it's me, Jesus. And then Simon says the craziest words ever. If it is you, Jesus, then you tell me to get out this boat and walk to you. Why would you say that? What's wrong with the man? And Jesus shouts back, come on then. And he steps out the boat and he starts to walk towards Jesus. Now it's a stormy night. That looks pretty peaceful, because it says when he saw the wind and the waves and took his eyes off Jesus, he started to sink. But he still walked on that water. He never got out the boat. If he never took the step, I don't believe he would have preached at Pentecost. I don't think he would have turned the world upside down for Jesus if he never took the little steps. We've got to fly the kite. We've got to do the little things so God can do the big things through us. We can come up with some answers, couldn't we? Oh, I'll serve more if I have some extra time free. You know what I mean? If my diary lets me have a few hours. It's not how it works. You've got to make time. Make time for God so you can take that first little step. I once watched a dad a long time ago speaking to his kids about giving. And I'm watching him and he's going, oh no, here's your pocket money, but what are you going to do with a bit for God this week? And every time they would take that little, I mean it wasn't much, they would take that little money and he'd watch them do what they could with it. From either giving it away or giving it to church, or blessing someone another way. But it became a joy to give. And what that dad was trying to put into that kid's life is, you know what I mean, learn to take small steps of faith by giving. You take this and you use that for God's glory. Little steps lead to bigger things. Can you do something for God this week? Could you take a little step? Could you take a little... I was praying for the week. This is one of these stories where you think, what? Praying for the week that someone in this church, we take a little step and give a testimony. Well, we had that from John today. But when I first arrived, someone said, I can have a quick word, Steve. He says, someone wants to give a testimony. And I was like, whoa, try not to get too excited. Play it calm, Steve. Play it calm. But yeah, someone wants to take that stop and give a testimony that what God has done in their life. And so we look forward to what God is going to do in their life, because the little steps lead to bigger steps, lead to bigger things. Fly the kite. What is God asking you to do? Will you take that small step? So we've turned the page, we've kissed the wave, we've eaten the frog, and now we're flying kites. I was in Clevedon last Sunday afternoon doing a training course, and then we went to the pub for some food afterwards. The woman in the pub, the people we were training with, she said to me, what are you preaching next week, Steve? And I told her, I'm doing this thing called Fly the Kite. And she sang me the whole of the Mary Poppins song in the pub. Her and her friend, to me, loudly. I had to suffer for God. Will you suffer for God? Will you take a small step this week? Will you make a difference in your faith? We're going to sing, and then we're going to have communion together. So let's get ready for that. I'll just